Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this New Year's Day episode 2 of the program Exploring the Idea of the Great Planetary Peace Pilgrimage, the most popular television show ever, based on the moving format of staging encampment with a long distance accompanying a long distance peace walk from place to place around the world. This is David Williams. This is a vision I have had to produce a television show ever since I was a Boy Scout with the Explorer Post 25. Walt Disney Studios, from the time I was 14 till the time I was 18, the last year I was a president of the Post, so I was the president of an intern's motion picture production company. But since then, I took a career in chemistry and sales management and never get the idea of making a movie or television until I had the experience of walking with the Japanese Buddhist monks, the Nippon-zen Myoho-ji order, started by Nichi Datsufu Ji, who was coincidentally Gandhi's teacher, who Gandhi calls Guruji, in the time of the Indian nonviolent revolution was brewing in India. In the 1930s, Guruji went to India to revive Buddhism there, where it had become dormant, although lots of shrines and buildings, but no practitioners. So he got the inspiration from a dream, a vision that he had the second time he did fasting for a week with no food or water or sleep for a week, two times. The second time, he experienced an apparition of a bodhisattva. It turned out he recognized this bodhisattva walking and beating a hand drum and chanting the Namo Myoho Renge Kyo mantra. So this gave Guruji, shoulder of his 33rd birthday, the inspiration that would be his mission, because he was just short of 33, and in their custom, you have to begin teaching with when you're 33, and until then, you just learn everything that you're going to teach. So he went to this waterfall and stayed awake with the water, but didn't drink or eat for 7 days and get this vision. So after that, his mission was to leave the temples and simply to walk and beat the drum, chanting Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, following the teaching of Saint Nichiren from 700 years earlier, where Saint Nichiren believed and taught that this mantra would bring peace to the earth, and our times predicted 700 years ago for these times by this mantra being pronounced around the world. So because of the coincidence of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima occurring on his 60th birthday, Guruji felt that this was the time predicted 2,500 years ago, and 500-year periods where this would mark the beginning of the era of the true law instead of the era of ending era of the declined law, where this law means the law by which nature operates. It's called Myoho in the mantra, the wonderful law, which means the law that cannot be contradicted. The law, like the law of gravity, that everything operates by without fail. In Islam, this is called the will of God. Nothing can happen except by the will of God. In Judaism, it's believed that the Torah is what this law is about. And even God cannot contradict the dictates of this law. Everything happens according to this law, whether we understand it, whether the scriptures adequately enlighten us to it, that's another issue. The same principle is behind the Dharma of Buddhism, the Myoho Rengyeko, and the same principle is behind the inviolably sovereign, the Dharma of Hinduism, and it's the subject of Einstein's equations called unified field theory to describe this law and the symbols and understanding of mathematics so people can come to grips with this law and live their life in accord with the law so they don't have problems. Like if you ignore the law of gravity and you throw a rock up, it might hit you on the head because you're ignoring the law of gravity. This is the same concept. So Guruji went in the 1930s alone to India, beating the drum and chanting this mantra. And he didn't speak the language. All he did was beat the drum and chant. But the people there were receptive to spiritual people. And soon enough, their children followed him around and enjoyed his presence and the wonderful vibe he put out. And pretty soon, word spread. And he got the chance to meet Mahatma Gandhi. This is in the 1930s. The touching story about the meeting with Mahatma Gandhi, they didn't speak each other's languages. They had, a 15-minute time together. Guruji was beating the drum. Gandhi was spinning his spinning wheel, and they just vibed each other out. And out of that came that Mahatma Gandhi, the Hindu lawyer, he took up this drum, this hand drum, and he began to beat the drum and chant this mantra every day. Still in the Gandhi ashram in India, they beat the drum and chant this mantra. This is not so well known, but his relatives have published books about this story, how Gandhi was taken with this handy drum, and The unusual thing is he was a Buddhist chanting this Buddhist prayer, and the symbol of the Indian flag was changed from the cotton spinning wheel to the Buddha Dharma wheel, in part in the inspiration, because Gandhi's way he thought to get kick the British out was be self-sufficient in weaving cotton, because although all the cotton in India was shipped to Britain, milled in the cloth and then sent back to sell to the people for more money. But the trouble was the Indian people themselves liked the colors and the pretty cloth made in England. So they wouldn't give up the... It didn't catch on. He had to acquiesce, and this spinning wheel campaign didn't work. But he adopted this practice of walking as a prayer, as a nonviolence. Guruji's a champion of nonviolence. He says to his monks, let them kill you, but don't hurt anybody. So they did that in India, and the people got beat up. And the long story short was a public opinion was finally swayed against Britain. All other factors involved, many factors involved. Ultimately, they kicked the British out, and India became a country. But there's still friction between Muslims and Hindus and all that kind of thing. And that's what's being worked out now by the teachings of people like Satya Sai Baba. And he lived in India two lifetimes and a third coming up to teach you unity between all the religions. Sai Baba had his he teaches about him having three incarnations, the triple avatar. The first was Shirdi Baba in the 1800s in Shirdi. And he was a Muslim, but he went to the Hindu temples and said prayers, went to the Muslim temple, and he was a very unusual person with a lot of paranormal abilities. Then he died, and when he was 14, I think, young age, Dio Sai Baba announced that he was the reincarnation of Shirdi Baba, and he had a miracle powers. He would, for the children, he would take an empty paper bag and pull treats out of it, materialize treats for the kids. And he taught and sang spiritual songs. And all of his life, he materialized this sacred ash. He materialized from nothing. Rings and pendants, all kinds of physical objects, which I witnessed personally in India in 1996, September 96. The day we had our interview was September 28th, which is the day that Baba had said before is the birthday of Shirdi Baba. So we had this interview, and I saw close up his ability to materialize these objects, what people would call miracles, except that the science has finally, not widely, but has accepted this kind of paranormal ability because of Uri Geller, Israeli. He calls himself an Israeli psychic. He has a paranormal abilities, not necessarily fully under control, but I witnessed him in March of 1997 at the Santa Monica conference called It's All in the Mind, where he bent spoons and started stopped watches. I witnessed this after the several days of chanting and drumming outside. They let me in, and I could feel the atmosphere of how Uri Geller coordinated the people's beliefs to enable him to do what he did, which is main famous thing is he does is bend spoons by the mind, and these spoons that are bent have I've seen crystallographic photographs of the molecules, how it looks, and there's no way that he can do it. It's mysterious how it's bent. And Uri Geller has done programs around the world, and especially in Britain, where he lived a long time. And the people reported watching him on TV or hearing him on the radio, and their spoons were bending in their drawers. So he has the effect of catalyzing remote paranormal effects that are totally mind matter, that mind influences matter. So these things are part of my belief and a part of what I'm trying to integrate these teachings and this research to how it all works and apply it to the cause of peace. Because the key thing is the nature of truth, that most people believe that truth is a thing that's uncertain, and basically in modern day, you make something up and you get people to believe it and it becomes true. That's exactly the opposite of believing in the absolute nature of truth, whether we understand it or not. So this is the philosophy I want to propagate in terms of this TV show by incorporating a training ground to learn advanced human capabilities within a structure Jose Munoz, the Mayan calendar keeper, calls the Metatron shape. If you look it up and you look at the two-dimensional projection from the top, it looks like the Metatron geometry, but it is comprised. When I first got the idea, I thought, well, every walker, peace walker, should have a tent, a tetrahedral tent. That's like a tripod with equilaterals. Tetrahedron is four equilateral triangles, three in the side and and a triangle in the bottom. That's a tetrahedron. That's the shape that carbon bonds in, the shape of the diamond crystal lattice, the fundamental shape of our life form. Water bonds in this shape. So the shape of water is the tetrahedron. So this is a fundamental teaching. It's the basis of my Tetron Natural Unified Field Theory equations based on the idea of the geometry symbolizing it is a sphere with a tetrahedron inside and a dot in the middle. That's the three-dimensional shape of what I call tetron, which is defined in my theory as the human mind's consciousness orientation function of light, because light, as I mentioned last time, not only reflects and refracts, the rainbow, but light polarizes. Polarization effect, where some chemicals twist the plane of polarized light to the right and some twist to the left, and these have different optical activities. The principle of optical activity is a chemistry property of the nature of light. And what I'm seeing, an extension of that, is light identifies the observer. Each person, because the light is not additive, that is to say, the speed of light, so-called speed of light, is a constant, but the real trick is the velocity of light, also a constant. The velocity is the speed plus direction. So if you square, like E equals MC squared, you square the C squared, that's the proportionality between constant, between energy and mass. But what's been overlooked, it's not the speed squared that's the proportionality constant, it's the velocity squared. And when you work it out, that means be each observer, by the nature of light, is the center of their universe. Every aspect of reality is centered in the person, like the egocentric in nature of reality. We know this as kids. Children grow have to be programmed out or think the world revolves around them. But in fact, it does. And that's programming. We get a program out of it. Oh, we think a lot, the sun is the center of the universe or the earth, whatever. But the individual person is the center. So I don't want to get too far out, but this is connects to the knowledge of paranormal phenomena, because it connects to the nature of truth and how people believe in the nature of truth. If you don't believe that truth is absolute, that there is a right and wrong, you'll never find it. Your moral compass will be always spinning around. you can't find the direction of the perfect truth unless you accept the existence, absolute nature of truth. And this is what goes back to the Guruji's teachings and Sai Baba's teaching and all the indigenous cultures I've ever studied, the Hopi and the Lakota and the Chumash and all these people. The indigenous cultures all revolve around the operation of the law of nature and the absolute value of absolute truth. There's no ambiguity in any indigenous spiritual tradition. There's whatever the cosmology, whatever the reason, whatever the system of ethics that tries to describe it, there's always the emphasis that the truth is real and there's right and wrong. This is the quandary everybody has to wrestle with. So I see I already got 26 minutes in here, and I want to say simply that I've been, I don't know, I think I've become a robot on automatic pilot, trying to download the Torah as an experience talked about last time, this sound that I got in June 23rd, 1973 as a guide beam signal to guide us to paradise on earth from the future, a signal. So I want to talk about the vision of the peace walk and explain how coincidence works, how the coincidence, when something's a coincidence, it has a meaning. It's just not a coincidence. If you see a rainbow and it happens because you, at the same time as you have a thought, a particular thought or experience, that's a real experience. Anyway, okay, so what happened since the last conversation I had, monologue, last time I had Lisa Wolf with the White Buffalo Nation and my friend Jason Huff-Bordofsky, he's the host, Brodsky, he's the host of this show, kindly give me this time to do a weekly program that he's paying for, and I'm using extra hours. So, but what happened was I had thought, what kind of route should I, many times over the last 30 years since I got the vision of the peace walk, and I planned and participated in many peace walks. I've organized many more than I took part in. I spent one year on the internet completely creating a fictitious peace walk and figure out every place that people could stay and where I'd go. And then there was no walkers, just an exercise. So I've had a lot of experience envisioning what might capture people's imagination to become the takeoff, the kickoff, finally, for the Great Planetary Peace Pilgrimage television show that would be popular all around the world, that we people would want to copy it and buy the products, the tent systems, the kit bags, the wardrobe, the peace tools to use in their location to do peace walks locally to propagate the message of peace. And I had, here's what I've come up with. Since I'm in Santa Barbara, I'm thinking of what I have going here. And as I knew a couple of years ago, April 8th, this year again, starts a music festival in the mountains in Santa Barbara. It's called the Lucidity Festival, and they have a lot of loud music. I don't like loud music, and that I have to endure. I like silence. I don't care to listen to music, but I have to deal with it. So anyway, the Jose Munoz, the Mayan calendar keeper, roped me into a few years ago, in 2018, to going to helping him build the first Mayan calendar, sacred calendar, the Six Sun sacred calendar display. He calls it a human reset manifestation station. This is on the basis of the 26,000 year calendar, the Mayan calendar that ended December 21st, 2012, and the next calendar for 26,000 years started then, and next calendar has five more archetype symbols than the previous one. And one of the archetype symbols on March 11th at UCSB, at University of California at Santa Barbara, that Tree of Peace was planted in 1985 by Jake Swamp, the symbol of the Great Law of Peace. This is another one of these teachings about the inviolably sovereign law by which everything operates, and they call it the Great Law of Peace. This is a teaching and the symbol that the United States system was copied in part based on the Iroquois Confederacy and the Great Law of Peace. So I was there to participate in 1985, the day before my father died on my 40th birthday, and I put a handful of dirt and with my wife and the young son to plant the Tree of Peace, being aware of it and trying to promote the teaching from the university numerous times over the years. So this time on March 11, 2018, I invited Jose Munoz, the Mayan calendar keeper, and my friend, the Chumash elder, Art Cisneros, to come to the Tree of Peace and do a prayer for the peace pole for Jerusalem. I have the peace pole is the symbol of the message of peace that goes back 2,200 years ago when King Ashoka after he conquered all of the Indian subcontinent by violent and bloody warfare. He got he had second thoughts after seeing the carnage after one battle, and he scratched his head, and what's it all about? And he finally received the message of peace from the Buddhist monks, and he embodied these teachings and the peace poles and peace monuments around the world, all around the Indian subcontinent. Still, there's many peace poles that Ashoka built. This is an early symbol of a culture of peace that uses the peace pole. Then the tree of peace, analogously, when in 1984 we had the peace pole, in 1980 we built a peace pole for the end of the ceremony at the end of the long walk for survival. And that was introduced in a prayer vigil for the first 8 days and then 11 days in the White House lawn in Lafayette Park, the prayer vigil to someday go in the lawn of the White House to accept the message of peace. Well, it had carvings on it, and we put the Sai Baba symbol on it in the caravan in 1984. And Guruji had the monks put the Namo Myoho Renge-kyo calligraphy on it. But in the there's a man named Waga who is the he's explained he's the last full-blooded Omaha Indian left. No more Omaha full-bloods can our childbearing age. So he was the last full-blooded Omaha Indian left. He was on, came with us from the Rainbow Gathering, the caravan, to the Democratic Convention and the Republican Convention in 1984, where I took the peace pole to keep the peace and bring out this message. And Waga, and before we get to Dallas, he hand-lettered this colored logo on the peace pole that Sai Baba's woman who started the Tustin bookstore had given me in 1983 to put this symbol, the sacred symbol of the world unity, unity of all faiths on this peace pole. So Waga put it on the peace pole. He's appeared when we get the peace pole out of jail after we, 92 of us were arrested for the peace walk to Dallas when the crazy guy burned the American flag against my wishes, and the case went to the Supreme Court that is decided that there's that free speech. So that's when I was upset that the CNN news came out that day with a picture of me, a close-up of me chanting and me beating the drum, and shifted to a picture of him burning the flag. And I was mad that I was associated with that action. So I started a thing in Santa Barbara after learning about the ceremony when you retire a worn-out American flag, you're supposed to burn it with a special ritual, a prayer, like a funeral for the flag. So I tried several times to revive that as a public ceremony to give people a chance to see something hopeful to how to correct the course of the country or whatever, instead of a protest. So come together respectfully, because that was my gripe. You can't yell at people and think they're going to accept what you say. You have to talk respectfully. So anyway, I had the first flag burning ceremony in De La Guerra Plaza, probably 1985, I think, probably within a year after that. And the TV cameras came, the newspaper camera came, everybody came, but no people. The veterans had the flag, the Werner flag. I lit the fire. We did the ceremony, but no people were interested, so they didn't put it on the news. Did it a few times after that with the same result. The next time was turned out the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait happened the same day, August 2nd. So I'll lead into this coincidence. This is a coincidence that flag burning ceremony on August 2nd is another coincidence. What I've come up with is recently the woman who lived in Santa Barbara, who built a statue out of marble, and the statue was called Transformation Through Forgiveness. I remember going to her event many years ago, Frances Jensen, where she had the statue. I don't know where she had it originally, but she had it placed at the Casa de la Maria in Santa Barbara, a gathering place where sometimes the peace walks, the global peace walk, has stayed when we're walking through Santa Barbara. And she had this statue placed there, but the problem was in 2018, came a big mudslide in Santa Barbara. And so what happened was the mudslide wiped out her beautiful statue, marble statue, and it carried it down the mud flow and crumbled it up, and they found pieces of it. So here's the woman who with the no insurance covered it. So she's has to go how to transform through forgiveness all the stuff that happened related to her beautiful statue being consumed by a mudslide. Well, as it happened, when I noticed her article on Facebook, the first thing that, besides remembering the statue and how pretty it was, but also it's a statue that embodies the symbol of used many times for Leonard Peltier, the American Indian Movement leader who is still in prison for over 40 years based on falsified evidence. The FBI has already acknowledged they faked the evidence, but they won't let him out of jail for 40 years. And it's many, many years. They know they faked the evidence. The guy at the FBI wrote a letter to a judge And if that letter is delivered to the judge, Leonard would be out of jail. But they won't deliver the letter to the judge. I don't know why. I believe that information is true. If that's the case, we don't need to have executive clemency. If the doofus, if the corrupt official at the FBI delivers this letter to the judge, we can get Leonard out of jail right away. But the problem is, anyway, this statue has American Indian guy, and he's standing shrouded by eagles, the feathers, wings, the eagle wrapped around his body, and the eagle's head is kind of peeking over the top of the man. And this symbol of the eagle wrapped around or superimposed, like protecting the person, is a common symbol many, many years, for probably 40 years, that's been associated with Leonard Peltier. So I knew that, but the thing that caught my eye, that triggered me, was my trigger when this last week I read the story on Facebook about the how the woman was sad because she lost the statue, and how the roads were closed and she had to take a boat to Carpinteria to visit her dying mother. All kinds of terrible things happened. So she's somehow worked through all this with her transformation of forgiveness, which is a very heavy concept of forgiveness. So what triggered me was the date that this happened, the mudslide and the disaster that swept away the statue, was January 9th, 2018. I remember that January 9th is the day we observe the death day of Guruji Fuji, because we had the Rainbow Uprising campaign series of events for a week in Santa Barbara around that date, the 9th of January in 1990, the 5th-year anniversary, when Jake Swamp Leader and Thomas Bianca of Camden Town gave him a bunch of talks, and we had the ceremony at Tree of Peace. It's all on video you can see on YouTube, called the Rainbow Uprising of Consciousness Campaign. This is a video, 2-hour video. Last half hour is actor John Voight, who came to represent Thomas because he had to go to Russia to the Global Forum. And John Voight talks about his experience with the Native people and the leadership, and stories about how the Hopi first went to discover the United Nations was the House of Micah. And talk about a prophecy that opened the door to the House of Micah, which we did in a few years later in 1991 and 92. The elders, the Hopi, and 82 indigenous leaders got to address the United Nations for the first time. But John Voight explains the story of how the elders found out what the House of Micah was, this first glass building in New York. It turned out to be in the United Nations. But so that was the coincidence that triggered me to know that Guruji's death day was 33 years after that statue was taken down by the mudslide. And my way of thinking, nothing's coincidence by accident. It always has a meaning. So what a meaning to me was, in her article, she explained that, the marble statue is gone and destroyed, but she had a duplicate of this cast in bronze, and it's called a monument for forgiveness, a monument to forgiveness, a monument of forgiveness, something like that. And she toured, a bunch of places around the world, I guess, and gave her message, her teaching about forgiveness, asking forgiveness for her ancestors, for, I don't know the details, but you can imagine the white lady asking for forgiveness for all the atrocities her government has done against the native people and all around the world. So she ultimately decided to give this statue at the place where the Trail of Tears ended, in Oklahoma. So there it stands, and I saw a picture of it. And there's some things you can see on the marble white more clearly than the colors of the, angles to look at it. The statue is cast and standing on a turtle. Turtle Island is the native people. They think of the United States, this continent, as Turtle Island. So they're marking the end of the Trail of Tears, sits this monument. So I'm thinking that's my trigger to complete the planning of the next leg, I call the next leg of the Global Peace Walk Project, which is a project started by Zen Buddhist monk who lived in San Francisco and convinced me to give up my job and help him to implement the United Nations anniversary Global Peace Walk across the country from New York to San Francisco in 1995, starting on Martin Luther King's birthday, January 15th, walking to San Francisco to the Herbs Theater, where the United Nations Charter was created and signed on June 26, 1945. So we walked all the way. I didn't walk all the way, but walkers walked all the way. I had to be made cameo appearances when I could, but my job was to go ahead and find a place for people to stay, and it snowed and all kinds of stuff. So, and handle getting letters and proclamations. First, we got a proclamation from Mayor Giuliani in support of the walk, and that led to more and more Coretta Scott King and a lot of people gave us proclamations of support for the 50th anniversary of the United Nations. The purpose was to bring a focus to the original vision of the United Nations Charter to remove the scourge of war, to eliminate the scourge of war from the future generations. And the United Nations has failed to do that. And we're bringing up the attention to what can we do to accomplish this goal. So every year since 1995, Yamato, Reverend Yamato, has conducted the annual Global Peace Walk. The first 5 years, he drove to Taos, New Mexico, to walk from Taos to Santa Fe. Why? Because Leonard Peltier gave us a message for the Global Peace Walk when we went by Kansas. And that message caught up, the written message caught up with us on Earth Day in Taos, New Mexico, when we had the Earth Day event and put up the peace pole, 1980 peace pole there, and had a ceremony. So what we knew in Taos, we had advanced support, people interested. So what to ask the mayor to put in a proclamation? Yamato decided, let's ask the mayor of Taos to proclaim his city as a global peace zone. Then bring out the concept of everywhere make a global peace zone. So we asked the mayor, and the mayor of Taos gave us the first proclamation of a global peace zone. And that was delivered on Earth Day, April 22nd, the same day we got Leonard Peltier's message, which is a beautiful message identifying with the walkers and their suffering. And when I talked to Leonard on the phone, we discussed this in Kansas, last thing he said to me on the phone was, give my love to the people. That's what I carried to try to tell people. Leonard's a nice guy. He wants everybody to give his love to the people. He shouldn't be in prison. He should be with his family. And the government has screwed him over, and not, it's totally the FBI. The FBI had a COINTELPRO operation in the 60s and 70s, and all they say that's got rid of it, but we know the FBI, they're involved in completely all the terrorism in the United States is fomented by these FBI informants. We gotta kill the FBI, so to speak, by getting Leonard out of jail. Will people all over the world will see this as a reconciliation. Forgiveness to go forward, everything. So that's why I decided I'm going to promote a peace walk, the Global Peace Walk, or whatever name under the Great Planetary Peace Pilgrimage, to go from Oklahoma to Washington, D.C., to the White House. From August 9th, the anniversary of the last atomic bombing of human beings in Nagasaki, to walk 3 months to end on Election Day, November 8th this year. So 3 months, average 13 miles a day, easy, no problem. If it's walk, a caravan, or whatever, So for peace, for global peace now, that's the motto of our walk. For global peace now, everybody walk from the backwards the trail of tears from Oklahoma to the White House. Whether Lennon's out of jail or not, I hope he's out of jail tomorrow. And we don't have to bother with this. Maybe Biden will wake up and give him a pardon and be a hero. I've been really disappointed in President Trump that he did not respond to the request to pardon Peltier. I went all the way across country and beat the drum outside the White House on August 30th, 2018. I went there to pray for peace and accept the peace pull for Jerusalem to put it up the White House and accept the message of peace. And then all the rhetoric I explained, I asked the President Trump to pardon Leonard Peltier as a symbol of America changing, like Brian Wilson, the veterans had his legs chopped off by the munitions train in Concord. He's constantly complaining about the atrocities, the bad attitude of the United States. This, how to get out of this, how to change the mind of America to get it positive, to get anything done, to get people to love America, how to counter the communists hate America, blah, blah, blah. We have to have something significant like the release from prison of the last American Indian prisoner of war while he's still alive to let Leonard get out of jail. That will have ramifications all around the world. If Biden does it, so much the better. The sooner the better. But like I say, if this information I have is correct, we don't need executive clemency. We can bypass Biden and Trump both if this letter simply gets delivered that's already been written documenting the false conviction. It's sitting on some desk at the FBI, and a guy won't deliver it to the judge that will set him free. That's what we need to figure out. Who's holding the process up at the FBI? They're the ones that falsified the evidence, railroaded him to conviction. You look up the website, who is LeonardPeltier.info. All his information is there. So my vision of the next leg, whatever you want to call it, to walk to bring peace, is retrace the trail of tears from Oklahoma to Washington, D.C. Now, leading up to that, I have, I'm in Santa Barbara. I live in a totally barely getting along, living, I'm in my RV without, fortunately, I have a place the cops don't chase me around, so I can stay in a parking lot here and there. But I'm living on the small Social Security retirement, barely getting along. My rig is now 10 years old. I've driven that across country two times. The roof's starting to leak. The things are falling off because I've driven it hard and bumped into rocks and things. So I need some help to get my rig fixed up to take off again. I want to go to do this walk. I'm 77 years old. I'm a sedentary guy. I don't know how much I can walk, but I know that I can walk from Santa Barbara around town, and I can walk to the Live Oak Campground where the Lucidity Festival starts on Buddha's birthday, and I can get there, and I can promote this walk to Free Leonard Peltier, and I think I can make it from there to join In Progress, the annual Global Peace Walk from Taos. Last time the Yamato and I talked, it was in January of 2000, and he had the idea. I have a recording of the talk. I'll post on the American Peace Movement website. I have the American Peace Movement Facebook page. I'm posting all this stuff. But he wanted to change the route for the first time. Instead of working like we did before from Santa Fe to Taos, he wanted to change the walk to start in Taos on Earth Day, on Buddha's birthday, the 8th of April, to walk to Santa Fe and have Earth Day there and continue on the walk to the Santa Fe Indian School. The Santa Fe Indian School is used to be one of the boarding schools. I don't know if people were, children were misused, killed or whatever there. I don't know any of that stuff. The Deb Hamlin, the President Biden's Secretary of the Interior with the jurisdiction of the Indians, she has requested last June a report from all the people involved to give her a report by April 1st, what's happened in the United States boarding schools since digging up all the bodies in Canada where the children have been killed and malnourished, sexually abused, whatever, the atrocities that have gone on in Canada, continuing with the murder of missing women issue in Canada, because the Indian women was the leading people behind the atrocities of sexual exploitation and child trafficking, human trafficking, the kind of stuff that Trump was trying to get rid of. Can't say any more about that. But the idea is the Indian School, Santa Fe Indian School, is a focus for this uncovering the truth about what happened in the Indian boarding schools. Maybe nobody got hurt. Maybe no corruption, mismanagement. We'll see what she finds out. But the 1st of April, she's supposed to get a report of what happened. And that's that's a week before Buddha's birthday, the week before we want to start to walk from Taos to Santa Fe to the Santa Fe Indian School, which is owned by a conglomeration of the pueblos in the area. I think that there's 8 indigenous nations all combined own the Santa Fe Indian School. I think the Laguna Pueblo is among them. That's the one that the Secretary of the Interior represents. So that's why it's important in addition this year, because of the boarding school evaluations and reports she's supposed to get. That's why it's additionally important this year that this walk can focus on this. So the first leg kickoff, Lucidity Festival in Santa Barbara. Then join in progress, the Global Peace Walk, annual walk from this time to Taos to Santa Fe, Earth Day in Santa Fe, and 6 days later to the 28th, arriving, that's a slow pace, arriving in the Santa Fe Indian School, the 28th of April, is the anniversary of the first putting to voice by Saint Nichiren of this Namo Myoho Renge Kyo mantra, the Save the World mantra, the Bring Peace in Our Time. That's the same 700-some-odd years anniversary. That's why I picked that date. Also, I mentioned last time that date I didn't know, but till later, but that date, April 28th, is the day I was walking across town in Santa Barbara the first time, 12 miles, beating the drum, walking and chanting, trying to get the rhythm and not make a mistake, learning how to walk and chew gum at the same time. I realized that the mantra is in your unusual. See, I was brought up as a Christian, but my young friend, older than me when I was 18, he was a Jim Waldron. He was a beautiful guy. He taught himself Arabic and taught the Quran and memorized it, all the dances, the music. He's a wizard guy. He tutored me in the principles of Islam. And so I went with him to the meetings and the mosque meetings and met all these people from other countries. He was the first Anglo-American who embraced Islam at the mosque meetings. Then they didn't have a center. Now they have the Islamic Center of Southern California, huge place down the street from the Nipunza Myoho-ji temple that Guruji started in Los Angeles, close by, a mile away or wherever. But they have a big mosque, a place of teaching center, and they rented a room And I was the second Anglo-American who embraced Islam at the time. And when I was 18 years old, 1963, and under Jim Waldron's tutelage, he went on to teach the Quran at the university. He had a went in the Air Force. He was a Russian language interpreter, and spoke Russian and Arabic and a bunch of other languages. And so anyway, I was taken when I was walking this time with the coincidence that the chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo has seven beats, and the second beat is a half beat. If you're drumming, that's how it works. So I'm walking and trying to keep this half beat and all that kind of stuff. And my early practice, having started the drumming a couple months earlier in the December 8th, I took up the drum from my first teacher, Masao Napashi, whose name means Masao is a similar sound to the Hopi word for the Great Spirit, and Napashi means sun bridge, and altogether it means his name can translate as Warrior of the Rainbow. That's what the title of the book that Thomas Banyaka is quoted in, that details the various prophecies coming together around the world and the inspiration of the Greenpeace Rainbow Warrior boat. And it's been inspirational in the Rainbow Family Movement, which I've been to a dozen gatherings over the years, last in 2018, and before that in 2016, always to bring some project for people to do afterwards, a peace movement project, because I'm not into the bullshit partying and the banjo music and what. I want to do something with the peaceful, making peace. So that's why I go. But this book, Warriors of a Rainbow, is a very inspirational book. I've got details on my website about it, links and all that. But so I get back to so my concept for the walk to save the world, to bring peace this year, start the Lucidity Festival, whatever I can do for the next 3 months in Santa Barbara to beat the drum and make noise and rally support. Then the Global Peace Walk from Taos to Santa Fe and to the Santa Fe Indian School. And then the follow-on is the Rainbow Gathering takes place each year from the first week of July. And this year it's going to be in Colorado. Now, Reverend Yamato has been to the Rainbow Gatherings several times. He introduced the peaceful ceremony the first time in 1978, this 2,200 years old ceremony. He introduced it And his concept was to write the calligraphy Namo Myoho Engekyo on the pole. Let everybody else put the sacred symbols of peace on it cooperatively and carry it through a procession through the camps and plant it at the gathering and have a ceremony, and it would be a place to come for the focus of peace. So the first year, when I happened to meet him, because I was going to the longest walk, but I got sidetracked with the idea I should go to the Rainbow Gathering first in 1978 to tell the people about the longest walk and get some people to go there. This is the first indigenous peoples walk, all the nations joining together in a ceremony, the prayer, walking to Washington, D.C. to overturn 11 different anti-Indian bills. And Dennis Banks and Bill Wapipa also... Lee Brightman went to Japan and met Fuji Guruji and saw the Tokyo to Hiroshima walk and got Guruji's support. And then Guruji sent the monks to join the longest walk. But I went before, I was late joining, started playing the last day with a miracle from Yamato, to join the walk at the when it came to the Washington Monument, 1978. But before that, I went to the Rainbow Gathering and met Yamato beating the drum, and he explained the peace pole ceremony. And so I waited where the place he was going to end and participated at that time. And the next time in Arizona, the peace pole ceremony, I participated. And then he, in 1980, he said he's going to be the coordinator for long walks for survival. So I had to go do the peace pole ceremony. And in 1980, to the Rainbow Gathering, which was in West Virginia. So I hitchhiked across the country, went by way of Big Mountain and Hopi Land to announce the walk for survival coming. And then I went to join the last days of the long walk for survival, and was in on the ending ceremony. I couldn't get the people behind the peace pole at the Rainbow Gathering, although a lightning struck a tree and downed it by the information center. So I used that as I didn't know to cut a live tree, you used a dead one. So I used that, made a peace pole, but nobody caught on. So we left it in the forest at Greenbelt Park, and it was gone. When we came back and to the from the Rainbow Gathering, was gone. Later, and that was in July, and in November, when we came back to the long walk for survival we created, Wave and I and Frog and a couple of people created a blank log and burned the Hopi four direction symbol on the bottom of it, the war leader Kachina symbol, and introduced it as a blank log at the ceremony with Guruji. And few dozen monks beating the drums and chanting Namo Myoho Renge-kyo outside the White House, and we kept it there. The log, Guruji had his monks come in and put the calligraphy on it, and then that peace pole became an object that people put carvings on and venerated many, many gatherings when the people in 1982, when we had the walk for the United Nations special session on disarmament, there's a rally at the Rose Bowl, and the Peace Bowl was there, and some beautiful musicians, Dean and Dudley, got the Peace Bowl up on stage with Jackson Browne to lend the prayer for the the United Nations second special session on disarmament. Five routes converged on New York. I got to fly ahead and join the last week or so, and the ending was a million people gathering in Central Park with no trash left behind, and the Guruji and the monks beating the drum for 3 minutes in front of everybody. That was the culmination, as well as we fasted for a day across from the Nine Nations, and Thomas Banyaka Hopi interpreter walked by while we were praying to go once again to try to open the door to the United Nations, the House of Micah, which he was told to go three times, not the fourth time till it was just right, otherwise bad things would happen. But the fourth time, after the Dalai Lama ceremony, Yamato took Thomas T91 to the United Nations, and they had a ceremony where Thomas Banyaka, the Hopi interpreter, gave the prayer feather he had kept from 1948 from this purpose, gave it to the Secretary General, Secretary of the United Nations, to fulfill this mission of opening the door to the House of Micah. So I talked to this guy, John Washburn, and I asked him if he would please figure out a way to get Thomas and the Hopi to talk to the United Nations. He says it's a little difficult because you have to be a member nation to speak to the General Assembly. But he said, I'll think about it and do the best we can. The Baha'i people at the United Nations Center were hosting Thomas, and they helped also. What happened was in 1993, all the focus on Columbus 500-year anniversary, all the peace walks across country, I joined to the 500-year Columbus anniversary. That gave the United Nations the impetus that they could declare the year of the indigenous peoples. So 1993 became the year of the indigenous people, and so on December 12, 1992, they invited Thomas Banyaka, the Hopi interpreter, and altogether 82 indigenous elders came to the United Nations and spoke for the first time in history to the General Assembly. But the General Assembly adjourned before and after the break, nobody came back. So this is not right. Thomas explained in his message, just like Satan Nichiren's message of 700 years before, your government is messing up because you're not taking account this inviolably sovereign natural law. You're making up laws and enforcing them by violence instead of getting in tune with this natural law of how truth works and making peace and harmony among the nations. So Thomas Bayaka said this, and he said, if you don't straighten out, nature's going to rebel. And what happens? That very day, the biggest rainstorm in New York history happened. The next day, it flooded out the United Nations while they're having their send-off prayer, shorted out the electricity in the basement. The lights went out, and in 82 indigenous elders completed their prayer to end the ceremony by big lighters, because guards wanted them to leave, and they said they were not afraid of the dark. They would continue their prayer, and they did. And before the circle finished, the lights came back on, and they went home. That's a coincidence, but and see what I'm driving at. Coincidence is important. So then I'm proposing after the walk, the Great Planetary Peace Pilgrimage from the Lucidity Festival to Taos to Santa Fe, to Santa Fe Indian School, to go to the Rainbow Gathering in Colorado, which is the 50th anniversary of the Rainbow Gatherings. This is started 50 years ago, right, by a group of hippies and a group of Vietnam veterans who get together. And the Vortex Gathering in Eugene, Oregon, and they agreed that the next year in Colorado they would have a gathering, a peace gathering, to pray for peace on the 4th of July. So the hippies and the veterans group was all about recovery, Vietnam War, that kind of thing, driving to the streets to pick up people, take them out in the mountains to camp, recovery kind of thing. Barry Plunker Adams is one leader of the group. Veterans group, and he met this hippie guy from New York, the art family background, Garrick Beck, and they plotted this thing, and it came off the first gathering. There was the snow melted and revealed the shape of a white buffalo. So all these people have a respect for the native traditions, but they're all confused hippies. They don't know right from wrong. They don't believe in right or wrong. you believe was a, you need to get along with people. So there's no hierarchy, and everything's decided and behind the scenes by the leadership, camouflaged by consensus circles. People that know what they're doing pull it off each year. No money's, no cost, no interest fee. Everything's free. All donations accepted. And a very cooperative effort. Very wonderful experience, except there's no peace. Everybody's complaining, everybody's shouting, everybody's arguing, the, you know, that kind of thing. But there's a group of people who want to pull things together, who offer ceremonies, like Felipe Chavez, who I met at a gathering in 1978, and he went all the way to Washington, D.C., where I met him at the longest walk camp. And since then, he's become familiar with his native ancestry, and he's become a sun dancer for Chief Crow Dog's place. And there's some people who still hold the vision and an idea of ceremony to bring peace, to unify the people at the Rainbow Gatherings. But I had resolved by my experience in 2018 not to go anymore, because the bottom line is all the rhetoric is a flowery and the get along and that, but the bottom line is it's kind of, you do what my I say or I'm gonna beat you up. A lot of people resort to violence. Plunkers beat up a lot of people. That's not the way to have a nonviolent gathering. All those stories around the campfire, oh, this guy's creating trouble, and so I went and beat him up. I can't deal with that anymore. So I resolved in 2018, I don't want to do it. But this time it's the 50th anniversary. A lot of people are going to come. A lot of people are going to look for something to do, whether I'm there or not. I think the peaceful for Jerusalem will be there. There's a Jerusalem camp, and the Jewish people have a Jerusalem camp. I think the peaceful for Jerusalem in its present form, with the seven symbols, and the top symbol being the tetron symbol, then about the Namum Yohorin Yerko under that, the Great Law of Peace symbol under that, the symbol for the Hopi Declaration of Peace under that, then the symbol for the three faces of Jerusalem united, looks like the three symbols of the three religions superimposed. That symbol was created by my friends Meir and Sherwood, Peace Walk in Jerusalem, organized from California years ago. Jerusalem peacemakers walked from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, including Eliyahu McLean, who's been to Rainbow Gatherings, including Ibrahim Abu Hawa. I call him the Muslim Gandhi of Jerusalem. He has a peace house where he welcomes everybody. So he's a symbol of true Islam, a peaceful Islam. All the stuff you see around the world, violence, and this is not Islam. This is Wahhabism fomented by Saudi Arabia. This is terrible. This is analogous to the violence fomented by many sects of different religions. But anyway, the Rainbow Gathering is a mix of all kinds of people. It's a Krishna camp. Krishna people go there every year. This year, I'd be surprised if there's less than 30,000 people. It would be a chaos. But if the right people come with the right ceremony, something can be done. And if there's some good thing to do after the gathering, people can be inspired. Leaflets can be handed out. Ideas talked about around the fire, like I did in 1978 about the longest walk. This year, instead of that, people can talk about joining the walk to retrace the Trail of Tears. Meet up at the Monument to Forgiveness. What's all that? Talk about that, what it's all about, and walk to Washington, D.C. So that's my proposal for that next leg. Then the next leg is after Rainbow Gathering is to go to South Dakota to the place of Chief Leonard Crow Dog. Crow Dog, he passed away this last year. He was an inspirational leader. He was the leader of the Long Walk for Survival when we created Pole in 1980. Many Rainbow Gatherings, people associate that with the Rainbow Gathering, the Long Walk for Survival Peace Pole. That's gone. Felipe burned it because it wore out, it rotted out. So the next model is the seven symbols of the Global Peace Pole for Jerusalem. After the symbol for the three face united, next symbol down is the Sai Baba symbol, the spiritual unity of all faiths, the one Waga put on in 1984. And then next, the last symbol, the foundation, is the symbol that Jose Munoz gave us after the ceremony on March 11, 2018, at the Tree of Peace, when the mayor of Santa Barbara presented her proclamation mentioning the great law of peace and mentioning the history of the Iroquois Confederacy, imperfectly copied by the United States. But she presented this nice proclamation we have online to give the Jose Munoz, the Mayan calendar keeper. And he offered us to put the symbol for peace, love, and patience, one of the 25 new archetype symbols we put on it. That's what motivated me to drive across country 2 years, 2016, and then the later 2018 to bring this message to the White House and the United Nations. This combined mess, all these messages of previous cultures of peace that created peace with it by accepting the messages. So it was like a signpost. I call it like a signpost that points the direction of peace. You can make a sticker with the symbols and stick it on a pole and they create the global peace pole. I'm going to have my website, I have put the symbols on like I did the previous six and laminate it in the right size and put it on their 4x8 post to make a peace pool, like the ones you see around all over the place. May peace prevail on earth. Just another set of symbols that has the same meaning, but deeper, because there's a precedent examples of cultures of peace that have worked. And if people understand them, they'll get the message and be able to implement peace. So Crawdog was a leader of not only the long war for survival. He's a key figure and a prominent figure in the Peltier Clemency movement. He's a lives and breathes and died, but he's big time behind, as all the Native people are, behind release of Leonard Peltier. And he has a place in Rosebud. And if you look at the latest Indian Country Today, the most popular early article of last year was an article about the Carlisle Indian School on all the bodies that digged up that happened there. And the children are being reinterred and taken home, properly buried. And the first 9 out of 10, I think, came from Rosebud, and had a big ceremony there. So that's a spiritual focus. Crowdog's has some land there called Crowdog's Paradise. Each year he has the Sundance there in the first week of August, which is one of the 7 sacred rites of the sacred pipe, where they tether their flesh to the pole and dance for 4 days, fasting, and the final day they tear their flesh loose and make a prayer offering this way. This is the Sundance ceremony was prohibited by the United States government for 90 years, only ended after the longest walk get it re-legalized. So major progress then can be made by people unifying. I went to the Sundance ceremony to witness it at Crowdog's Paradise with, I'm a little mixed up, 97, 98, because we traveled both years. But I was driving Yamato's bus, and I had a big sign that said, "The Rainbow Uprising," because of our Hopi Rainbow Uprising campaign. And I had this big sign on the side of the bus. And one time, Crowdog's, he was walking back to his teepee towards the Sundance grounds, and he kind of smiled and made a extra effort of noticing the sign, right? And by the time he got to his teepee, a big rainbow come over the Sundance pool. In my view, a big rainbow came. I thought he produced it because he was special. I can't confirm it, but big rainbow over the Sundance pool. And that later I had a computer and sat in his teepee and typed up a pink thing for him to give permission to his people to have eagle feathers. And at the same time, I think the same year, I did an interview with Crow Dog and Yamato with the Sundance pole in the background. I have a video of an interesting interview. Both of them, Yamato speaking English with a Japanese accent, and Crow Dog in his vernacular with a Lakota accent. Really powerful. I have to get the video out. I have it here handy, but I have it transcribed, everything he said, but I haven't gotten it out. So anyway, the year, the concept is to go selected people because not everybody can go to the Sundance ceremony. People to go to the rainbow gathering, targeting August 6th. There will be one of the days. It's four, total 8 days, 4 days preparation, 4 days ceremony, and usually the beginning of August, a time to when the choke cherries are ripe. So I think the 6th of August will be the focus at Rosebud, wherever in Rosebud, for the Hiroshima Day observance, and then a quick caravan to Oklahoma City, and a speaker run from the 8th to the 7th and 8th to the university with a ceremony at the Monument for Forgiveness, and then the walk to Washington, D.C. That's what I'm envisioning as the optimum proposal for what kind of walk can gather the spiritual energy and authority to bring, to change the mind of the people. Because what we need to bring peace to the earth is to change the mind of the people. When you think about everything, wars, what are people fighting about? They're fighting to change the mind of the people that they disagree with. Well, the solution is to change all the minds all around the world into the focus in the truth of this natural law, the absolute nature of truth, and the inviolably sovereign natural law, the law of God, the will of God, the great law of peace, the great law of light, I call it, by the relationship to each person to light. We all are the center of our own universe. And we have to, by recognizing it, we can get along. We don't have to struggle. We can get along and harmonize. that's the basic idea I'm trying to bring out. That I, it looks like, it looks like I'm within 5 minutes, 4 minutes to the Ray meeting in this program. So I want to say that everyone who wants to help with this project, please feel free to get in touch with me to coordinate whatever you know, whoever you know that can help. My phone number, you can text me, you can call me, you can send me money by this phone number, 805-403-1634. That's David Williams, David Crockett Williams Jr., the third, third of my name. And I have my Facebook page is David.Crockett.Williams. So you can find me on Facebook there that way. I'll get, I have a YouTube channel with the Rainbow Uprising video and some local things. Probably put more on YouTube. I was suggested by Lisa Wolf to get on Zoom because I can do video and upload the programs at the same time to YouTube. So I'll do that. I want to look into the alternative communications. Right now I do email a little bit. I got off the track. I used to email a lot. And mainly I'm using Facebook. I have a Facebook Messenger chat group. Under the auspices of AmericanPeaceMovement.us. And I have a couple of dozen people I'm working with on that. I created a bunch of different messenger chat groups for different projects over the years. And every once in a while I send an update, but I want to coordinate better and move people on to better lists. Okay, I have 90 seconds left. I want to say my prayer, the Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, the Torah, Torah Kum, that's Hebrew for the law arises. This coincidence, Torah, the sound came to 1973, May 5th, 1976. Somehow Torah turned into Torakum. I don't know why, but I found out it means in Hebrew, the law arises. So Torakum, Torakum. Torakom nam yoho ringi kyo la ilaha illallah. Goodbye. Thank you. 10 seconds. Okay, love you all.